I wish to make an announcement, please. This comes by way of Dr. Bland. Members of the seminary family are participating in efforts to improve housing in Wake Forest. Seminarians and townspeople are cooperating. Repairs have been made to some houses, and there are worthy additional needs to be met. These efforts are supported by voluntary contributions. You will be given an opportunity to contribute today as you leave the sanctuary. Please leave your gift in the receptacle provided on the table in the foyer of the chapel, please. We turn to selection 6-7 and read responsively. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy.
Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, in whom we move, live, and have our being, we thank thee, Lord God, for this day and for this blessed privilege of worship. We pray, Heavenly Father, as we have assembled here together on one accord, that thou would give us a deeper awareness of thy presence with us. Be with us that we may worship thee in spirit and in truth. We pray, Holy Father, that thou would bless our man servant today, that he will come to deliver thy message. Give him strength and courage to communicate thy gospel unto thy people. These and other blessings we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and for his sake we pray. Amen.
States, all of them concerned about the problems we face in the cities of our land. They'd asked me to preach each night, and they didn't just ask me to preach so that, all the rest of you, I could have dug out two or three favorite sermons and just gone down and preached them. They assigned me subjects for each night. And one of them was especially intriguing. The up and coming, helping the down and out. Well, when I first looked at that, I said, that's clever, isn't it? Why didn't I think of that? Then I said, maybe it's too clever. Or maybe it isn't clever enough. The up and coming helping the down and out. But perhaps it should be the up and out helping the down and coming. Or perhaps it should be the down and coming helping the up and out. And I began to play around with all three of those ideas. And there's something in each of them. The up and coming should help the down and out. After all, the Bible is full of teachings about our responsibility to care for our brethren. Inasmuch as you've done it not to the least of these, you've not done it to me, the Lord said. And just to the extent that you do it, you've done it unto me. Remember that when you pass the offering plate on the way out. We are supposed to care. And to translate our concern in terms of action. To me, one of the most marvelous examples we have of Christian devotion in our mission work is found in the life of a young doctor, Martha Gilliland, in Nigeria. Martha taught me a great lesson. Ms. Ames and I were over in the hospital of Bomashaw. Martha was taking us around, showing us the hospital, the old and the new, of which they were justly proud. We went through one of the wards, and there was a woman suffering all the pains and agonies of locked jaw, acquired when she gave birth to her child on the floor, the dirt floor of a primitive house. Martha, with compassion, said, I must come back and take care of her. And she left us in a few minutes to do just that. In a year or so, Martha was compelled to share in the diagnosis of her husband's illness. He was a teacher in the seminary. And she decided he must come home for treatment. The doctors here found the malignant tumor in the brain. They operated, but to no avail. Martha stayed by her husband in those days. And she tells about the beauty of them. One day her husband said, you know, God is so real and so near in this hospital room, it's almost like a cathedral, isn't it? Telling about it all, Martha says, it was the most beautiful experience of my life. We all wondered what Martha would do after her husband died. But when we were in Nigeria last summer, there was a new sign on the door of one of the offices, Dr. Martha Gilliland. And she went back. What did Martha teach me? One priceless sentence. She said, you know, you can't give love on the end of a long pole. You have to be involved. The up and coming must help the down and out. But we must be sure we do it in the right way and in the right spirit. Not with that patronizing, condescending air that hurts. Not with the disdain of the Pharisee who said, Lord, I thank you, I'm not like this publican. Not with the spirit of the priest and the Levite who passed by on the other side and went their way. Not with that charming attitude that says, why don't they do like I did? Look at me. Nor the attitude that says, they're hopeless scheduling with them. They've always been that way, they'll always be that way. John Wicker in Virginia Tells of one time when he was on his way to Europe, he preached in a great city church in New York. At the close of the service, much to the dismay of some of the elders, he gave an invitation to membership, and a man came down to the front and wanted to join the church, and the elders came right down and said to Dr. Wicker, "We can't take him in." "Well, why not?" "Well, he's a notorious drunk. He'll disgrace the church within a week. You can't take him." So they talked about it, and Dr. Wicker said, "If he stays sober a week, will you take him in next Sunday?" "Well, no, by some miracle, he might stay sober a week, but he'd be drunk again soon." "Well," Dr. Wicker said, "I'll tell you, I'll be back here in 6 weeks. I'm supposed to preach for you again on my way back from Europe. If he stays sober 6 weeks, will you take him in?" Well, I thought they could take the chance on that, so they agreed. 6 weeks later, Dr. Wicker, on his way back from Europe, stopped. And the first man he saw as he came up to the church that morning was this man standing on the front steps, his hand out, a smile on his face. He said, "Dr. Wicker, today I get in." The up and coming have a responsibility for the down and out. But we might well say, the up and out helping the down and coming, because their coming never forget it. Our problem is that too many of us option out. We move to the suburbs. We move our church to the suburbs because they are there and they're not our kind. We can't have them. And we move out, forgetting that they move out too. There's no hiding place up there or down here. Those who try an option out are just missing their chance to serve. In the church we served in Richmond, we had a coffee house Friday and Saturday nights, and some of our good people were disturbed because of the appearance of some of the folks who came to that coffee house. They lived right in the neighborhood, but they wore different clothes and they had too much hair on their faces, and they just didn't fit in. And finally, when the youth minister left, it was a good chance to close the coffee house. But one young optometrist in that church couldn't stand that. And he organized a group of young married couples who said, "We'll reopen the coffee house," and they did. A few months later, they asked him in the church one night to tell about it. He and several other young people were talking about the future work of that great church, ministering to the community. When this young doctor got up to speak, he was just overcome. He couldn't say a word. Another young man who'd been a big tackle on a football team went up and put his arm around him and said, "Okay, Buck, you can do it, and I'll tell him." And he stood right there while this young doctor with trembling voice told of his concern for these young people in the coffee house. He said, "Some of them don't have any home. Some of them don't even have a house. A lot of them have mental and physical needs, and all of them need Jesus." Jesus said, he told the congregation, Jesus said, "The whole don't need a physician, but the sick." He said, that's what we preach, but what do we practice? He said, "My mission is to meet the needs of these young people in Jesus' name." Yes, the up and out need to learn what it means to minister to the down and coming, and the down and coming can do much for the up and out. For one thing, they can save us from the littleness and the meagerness of so many Christian lives. Shakespeare in it says, "There's a tide in the affairs of men that, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Neglected, all of life is spent in shallows and in miseries. The diamond coming or the wave of the future. We Baptists ought not to forget that. That's the way we began. I was asked some years ago to speak at the dedication of the John Smythe Memorial Baptist Church in Amsterdam, Holland. It's a beautiful church, modern building, in a lovely new suburb of Amsterdam. But before I went, I went to the little tiny street, only about 5 feet wide, down by the docks in Amsterdam, where the little band of refugees from England started the first Baptist church of modern times in a little bakery shop. We were the down and coming. We're still a cult, a sect, a despised minority in countries all around this world. We were the down and coming. And we can be sympathetic and understanding with others just like that. At that same meeting, the European Baptist Federation, the honored guest was a young man I first met when his wife was the featured soloist at a women's Baptist convention. He was coming to be known because he had a strange idea, and that was that people, no matter what their color or race, should be able to sit anywhere in a bus. And at this Federation meeting, the European Baptist said, there's just one man above all else in America we want to hear, and that's Martin Luther King. And they paid his way to come all the way over just to speak at that one meeting. Then Martin Luther King was killed. And the day after he died, I stood on the steps of the state capitol in Virginia with some others to pay a tribute. And at the end, I found myself with the white Roman Catholic bishop holding this hand, and one of my black Baptist brothers holding this, and we were all singing together, "We shall overcome." Who can forget that challenging word, "I have a dream"? A dream. Dreams they are. But shall we despise them and scorn them? That men shall love one another? The whites will call black man brother. That the glory of kings and power shall fail, that the love of humanity shall prevail. Dreams are they all. But God's dreams. And it's the down and coming who dream them. So you see, there's truth in all of these little statements. As the scripture says, we're bound in the bundle of life. None goes his way alone. Now you find this wonderfully illustrated in a priceless story here in the book. Back in 2 Kings, the city of Samaria was being besieged. The people inside were starving to death. The prophet of God said, tomorrow everybody at this time of day will be filled. There'll be plenty of food. And the skeptical king's advisors said, it'll take a miracle to do it. Four lepers were outside the gate of the city, you remember? They were down and out. Nobody's going to waste food on a leper at a time like that. These four men said, If we sit here, we're going to starve to death. If we go in the city, we're going to starve to death. Let's go to the camp of the enemy. They may kill us, but we're going to die anyway. But they might just feed us to get rid of us. And so they went. And to their amazement, the enemy had fled. And they left all their tents and their food and their treasure behind them. And they gorged themselves on food and began to get treasure that they could hide away. And then one of them said to the others, "We do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till morning light, punishment will overtake us. Come, let us go and tell the good news." And they went to tell. And the people rushed out of the city. The cynic who had been so skeptical was crushed to death in the gate as the others ran out. The prophet's words were fulfilled. Three little warning words in that story for us in these days in which we live. Recognition, retribution, resolution. Recognition of the responsibility of privilege, of the necessity that is on us to share the good news we have of God in Christ, and to seek to meet the needs of others in Christian love. Remember the poet said, "God gave my world to me, and I rebelliously cried out, 'How small is this all?'" His voice was sad yet mild, "It's all that you love, my child." Myself that moment died and born anew, I cried, "Love, take control and lead my soul to serve my small estate. And lo, my world is great." But there is a note of retribution. Punishment will overtake us. Littleness of life. The destruction of all that we hold dear. But we ought to do these things not from fear of punishment, but because they're right and Christian. Someday we must stand before our Lord in that great day. You can almost hear him say, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me." On that day will he say to you and to me, "Depart from me. I don't know you." Will we hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And it will be no new experience. For we've already found the joy he knew when he took up his cross. And so we need that resolution. That we will go and tell, not just in word, but in deed. Not just in spirit, but in truth. We'll go and tell the good news we know. Our message today is not just come, but go. We spoke yesterday of Coventry Cathedral in England. You see it beautifully illustrated there in the Unity Chapel. You go into worship. And as you leave the beautiful chapel to go out, and you see the city in front of you, and right at the door are these words, "There you are. Here we come." It is a day of good tidings. Dare we hold our peace? let us go and tell the good news of life to the soul in Jesus' name. Shall we pray? Oh Lord, we thank thee that we can be bearers of this good news. May we be faithful in our stewardship. May we serve others and serve thee as we ought in our day and time, that the world may know him whom to know is life eternal. For his kingdom's sake, amen.